Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A Football Friday is on the air on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, presented today by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. And Danny, like they do in network TV programming, when they have an extra special show, a very special Football Friday, your boy is staring at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin right now as I broadcast live from Hinterland Brewery. With a fire next.
I'm looking at Ryan and Darius. So I guess I win. Who wins? I get, maybe you do. Maybe
no, you win. No. I like Ryan and Darius.
I like them too. But I kind of wish I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, just eating cheese curds and delicious burgers and being greeted by friendly people. Dude, you sent pictures. It looks incredible. It looks incredible.
I don't want to open the show joning on FedEx. We've done enough about that the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it takes care of itself.
It's low-hanging fruit. But I will say, whenever, it just smacks you in the face, even if you don't want it to. Like, I'm looking across the way at Lambeau, and I see this guy hobbling around in burgundy and gold, right? And he's taking pictures, and, I mean, he's thinking he's in the big leagues all this. No, it's not Curtis Samuel, because he wouldn't be here. Remember, he's not going to make the trip because he's already been ruled out.
Well, you said hobbling around, I just assumed, because he may have run a route last month. Anyway, back to you.
He's a heavy fella kind of like me, so he's just not getting around as well as he'd like. But he's taking pictures of everything, and he's in this wonderful football utopia that everyone dreams of. It's crazy, man. Every person I've seen today is in Packers gear. It's just different.
Excellent team that goes to the NFC title game, that has a rich history and just Hall of Fame quarterback passing the baton to the next Hall of Fame quarterback. You might get that. I promise you, you're too young to remember. It was like that in town. I swear to you, when I would commute from my little tiny home in Northern Virginia into D.C. for kindergarten all the way through fourth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, whatever, you'd see people on the streets just wearing jerseys, Art Monk jerseys, wherever, Alvin Walton, Daryl Green. You just saw them. It was just a normal thing to care about the football team, then called the Redskins, in the fall because they were always winning so many games. We were Green Bay before Green Bay was cool.
Think about that, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare to see people in jerseys now, like not at a game, just out and about, like at a store on a Sunday morning. You don't see it that often.
You see opposing jerseys?
Oh,
constantly.
I see plenty of those.
People running their errands so they can sit down and watch their Chargers on League Pass or whatever the hell it is. It's so weird. I'm telling you, nobody likes to hear these examples because they're not scientific in any way. But when they had my kids' school had like a, where are your jersey of your favorite team? Day, right? Everyone wore a jersey. The entire school population.
Day.
I don't know. Die. 600, 700, 800 kids, whatever it was. There day. Was not a single Washington football team jersey. And Danny, you mean there weren't that many? Not a single one. Wait, Danny, you're exact. Not a single. Was there two? Not one jersey of the Washington football team. Anywhere.
I laugh because otherwise you just cry. You know, it is. It's not fun. It's not the way it should be. But hopefully it'll get back to that way eventually. The new name, if it's a smashola, could help. The new logo could help with young people. Obviously winning if they could ever turn the page and start successfully stringing together double-digit victories in seasons would be a big deal. I will just add, as I'm sitting here at this brewery in what they call Title Town, which is, if you haven't been to Lambeau Field, a string of like bars and restaurants that, you know, I'm not good at golf. You've played top golf with me a few times,
indeed.
Right, bro?
Oh, yeah.
I could easily hit a golf ball, not even with the driver, which is pretty much the same as my other clubs, as you know. But I could hit a golf ball from here to Lambeau Field, and I had my choice of like breweries and restaurants to set up at today. And I want whatever the new stadium is, wherever the new stadium is, I want that. We have it now at Nats Park. We don't really have a Wrigleyville, but we're close enough. You got Walters and all these little places on Half Street you walk to and from before and after the game. At FedEx, as people know, I mean, there's nothing around there for miles and miles. Like, you could drive 10 minutes and eat at Outback or something if you want to. But I want something like this. Like, everyone just comes downtown, they pregame, they do whatever they want, and then they walk across the streets to the stadium. That's what I want, wherever it is. I don't care where it is.
You're going to have to wait until the last possible day, apparently. 2027. It's not coming before that. Remember when there was nothing but momentum for new stadiums and everyone was bidding against each other and Bruce Allen was like, I'll grease the wheels and we'll get this whole thing done. Now they're openly talking about, like, yeah, you know, when we finally move in 6 years, because we have no leads at this point, it is a just bizarre turn. But you're 100% right. Anytime you go anywhere else, you know, you get this renewed either appreciation or, in this case, depreciation for what we have. And you just remember, it can be so much better. And it's supposed to be so much better.
And it will be.
We are not the
32nd market.
I think that's
important to say.
Yeah, I hope so, honestly. I don't know. I hope so.
I'm confident. I mean, they even if you screw up the new stadium, it's going to be so much better. And because it'll be new and pristine and clean and state-of-the-art, it'll be middle of the pack for at least a little while. So I feel good about that. I do. By the way, you'll be proud of me. You know that my superpower is sleeping on planes.
Indeed.
Just pummeled some Z's, both flights, to Chicago, to Appleton, Wisconsin. And I almost pulled a Danny Ruye. I almost was so annoyed by a small talk conversation going on across the aisle that I said something about it. I didn't, but I thought about it. These two people got into a political debate.
Amazing.
Like, just strangers on a plane. Imagine this. And they start talking politics and like, oh, I'm one of those people who can talk politics calmly. And they're like, oh, me too. No matter what, I'll just listen. I've got two ears and one mouth. God made me that way. You know, whatever that stupid
whatever
like,
that
saying
is. Yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're literally like arguing. I just disagree. I just disagree. And I'm like, I really thought about going, hey, guys, both of you, zip it. Shut your mouths. I didn't say anything. It was awful for everyone else around, though, who was within earshot. It was just terrible.
I cannot imagine. First of all, no one should be talking to anybody at any point in time.
About anything, in your opinion, right?
Yeah,
like, not even a hello.
If you travel with the person, like if you and your wife are on a plane, minimal conversation should be allowed. I mean, we're all in this together. We're all in this stupid metal tube with arms.
Me and my wife didn't speak, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the right way to do it. We're just traveling. Let's everyone travel. Put your
headphones on. She read 154 pages of some book, and twice I talked to her, and she would like flip the page to the next page before she'd look up.
Yeah. She's got it right. You go to sleep, she's reading her book, let's just stare forward and get our tiny portions of non-delicious food and get our bags and get the hell out of this experience. No one should be talking to anybody. It's morally wrong. I'm taking a stand.
Well, there's a lot to get into today. So the Caps looked awesome last night. We can discuss that. Wizards back in action. Got to talk about them as well. But it is a football Friday, and we're going to dominate with the Washington football team, obviously. And where we wanted to start, Danny, was just on how people feel about the game. Now, I have been in the air since about, I don't know, 6:50 or so this morning. And so because of that, I don't have a great pulse of what people have been saying on the station or callers have been saying. But we wanted to start with what chance fans are giving the Washington football team to pull off what would be a massive upset. This game opened on the FanDuel Sportsbook as a 10-point line. It's actually gone down quite a bit. Last I saw, it was right around 7.5 or 8, depending on the book you're looking at. But it would be a pretty substantial upset if Washington, coming off of losses of 11 to New Orleans, and then last week 18 to the Chiefs at home, goes on the road to Lambeau to face a Packers team that is red hot and winners of five straight, 37 I should say 31 wins in their last 38 games, 31-7. They come here and win. That would be a message sent around the NFL. What kind of chance are people giving them? That's what we want to know out of the gates. We can open up the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067.
Well, you touched on it. The line is 7.5. And, you know, the Vegas Open, but sort of the book conglomerate, had the opening line of the week at 7.5. That moved up and down. I know FanDuel started a little bit higher. But this goes to my larger point here. My initial look at this, I'm surprised that it's not double digits. I'm surprised that a 5-1 team who's ripped off five straight W's and looks to be firing on all cylinders, as you said, against a team that's taking on water to be kind, traveling to that place is not a bigger spread at this point. I was initially surprised by that. So I'm kind of trying to figure out why, right? I'm working back from my result. And here's the best I could come up with. I don't want to get your take on this. Green Bay doesn't beat the brakes off of people. They did to the Lions, but they were trailing, I think, in the second half of that game before they just hit the throttle.
Down at halftime, you're right.
And Detroit, you know, just Detroit it everywhere. But field goal game against San Francisco, double-digit ultimately against Pittsburgh, but it was anybody's game. Overtime against Cincinnati, and they did kind of just enough against the Bears this past week. My point is, I'm wondering if the view is Green Bay's not showing you everything just yet. December Green Bay, January Green Bay, when they're going back to the NFC title game for the millionth straight year, it seems like. That's the group that will unleash the full power of the battle station, so to speak. At this point, this is the Death Star under construction. They're good enough to blow up a planet, but not to take out the entire fleet. I feel like they think Washington will be in the game. Green Bay's in no danger of losing it, according to maybe the smart folks that do this. But I'm wondering if it's a maybe Green Bay plays down to their competition sort of thing, and they just haven't had that game where they destroy their opponent start to finish.
So I think it's twofold, really. If I'm trying to make a case for why people who know what they're talking about say this game will be a one-possession game, this will be fairly close. The first thing I think that matters is Washington needs this way more than Green Bay does. And that is a factor, I would imagine, in putting a line together. But more specifically, I would just say in terms of picking a game, when we do our confidence points picks today or, you know, just breaking a game down like we do every week on the air, the Packers are in a golden spot already. You know, they've exploded since week one with five straight wins to be arguably the best team in the conference, the best team in football. If they lose, they're still in first place, and they're still well within range of where they need to be to get to their ultimate goal. Washington, meanwhile, I would say it's a little bit too excessive and hyperbolic to say that they're playing for their season, but you can make that case, I think. Right? I mean, this is a team that if they lose, and now you're talking about being 2-5 through seven games, Broncos coming up desperate. They're 3-4 after last night. There's a real case to be made that you're in huge trouble as it pertains to, you know, the postseason and getting to the 8-9 win threshold you set for yourself. So I think that desperation is part of it. I also think, in playing into that same storyline, sometimes you expect a little dead cat bounce when a team's back is against the wall. You saw that with the Raiders last week. I really thought with everything going on with John Gruden, ultimately, before the year's over, that's going to cost them dearly, and all that turmoil is going to come back to bite them in the butt. But in that first week, sometimes it's just an us against the world, everybody buckles down and does their job kind of feel. And with Washington going through a state of peril, really, in the last 10 or so days in the organization, you know, maybe you think that they're just going to be extra focused, heightened awareness, everyone's disciplined, and comes out and plays an inspired game. So I'll throw that out there as a possibility. And then the last thing you hit on was style of play. The Packers are going to wear this team down, and I think they'll beat them into submission. But I don't think this is going to be like a sexy Aaron Rodgers drops back and throws 47 times for 426 yards and four touchdowns game. If he throws four touchdowns, it's going to be on like 205 through the air, and they just throw it in the red zone. I think what you're getting tomorrow is a ton of Aaron Jones, or Sunday rather, and a ton of A.J. Dillon. And they're just going to, like, they don't have to be cute. They don't have to go to the A plan. They're just going to be better than Washington at the easier thing to do, which is run the ball, play a little defense, and get out of here winning by 8 or 9. That's, I think, their script, and they'll save future weeks against more difficult opponents to show some of the stuff that maybe they don't want to throw out on film yet.
I think that's a huge part of this, right? Because, again, I keep pointing to this game that happened this past weekend where Chicago was in no danger of winning that game. Anytime Green Bay wanted to put the hammer down, they could have. And they just sort of lined up, ran their stuff, won the game. It's hard to really quantify that. It's hard to really explain the feeling. You just had to have watched it. And if you did, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where they were sort of on cruise control from the beginning. As you said, nothing elaborate, no crazy plays. Nobody's doing anything that's untoward. It's, we're going to run the ball. If we get a 4th-and-3, we'll probably punt it. But we're better than this group. All we have to do is not screw up. We get out of here with a W. I think they probably approached that week the exact same way, to be honest with you. Just because, again, Washington is so limited with all the injuries now, with no Samuel, looks like no Sheriff as well. Offensively, you know, it's a couple scrambles here and there from Taylor Heinicke, but what scares you if you're Green Bay? If you get into a game where they can score, okay, fine, I'll flip the switch. We'll give Davante Adams, you know, 12 targets and score 35 points. They can do whatever they want in this one, I think.
Yeah, and I believe that while you're right, they're just not going to have to go to the heavy artillery necessarily, right? If they just line up and brute force it, I think they're going to be fine. And that's the style of play we've kind of seen with some of these recent games. I was looking back at the last time these two teams met right here in Lambeau. I think the final was 20-15, if memory serves. And it was that kind of game where you never thought for a second Washington was going to win, but it was never a blowout either. And the Packers never really pulled away. And in that game, Dwayne Haskins was quarterback and didn't play particularly well, and Terry McLaurin made a ridiculous catch for a touchdown. It was kind of some of the things you expect from this team, where they did some okay things, but in the end, they just weren't as good as the Packers, which I think is the expectation tomorrow. But maybe the better conversation to have, because a lot of people are going to pick Green Bay on the phones, obviously. What chance do you give Washington? And there's got to be a way to quantify that, so maybe we could do it numerically, like percentage chance. What percent do you give them as a possibility to beat Green Bay? Let's quantify it that way on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. I should tell you, Danny, as you'd anticipate at the frozen tundra that is Lambeau Field, it's a little chilly out here, man. I flew in khaki shorts and a polo shirt.
Rightly so, yeah.
I have since, because I'm broadcasting outdoors, I've changed into jeans and a hoodie. It's like 45 degrees, and it's going to be like 48, 49 game day on Sunday, but no precipitation, no chance of rain or anything. So it's going to be kind of like your prototypical autumn Lambeau Field weather when you turn on your TV to watch Aaron Rodgers in that green and gold. And they're wearing their throwbacks. So it's going to be a good aesthetically looking game here at Lambeau.
So I'll counter that real quick with, because we work with space aliens, I think drab t-shirt turned the heat up, heat, in this room where I'm sitting right now into the low 80s.
Oh,
that, my gosh. That was the case when we all walked in. We were all confused. We're like, is it broken again? Is someone going to come in the middle of the show and like start tinkering with things? But I think we fixed it. It's now just like 75.
What planet do you think? Whoever put that, I'm not going to blame Drab. You're blaming Drab. But whoever made that decision that you're putting on Drab, what planet did they start on before they came here, do you think?
It's the Bickle Drab T-shirt reptile planet, where they don't have warm blood. The rest of us human beings have warm blood, and we get hot. They don't. They're always cold, even in the summertime. You can catch them in hoodies.
I've always thought that if we went, I've never been to EB's house. I'd love to go kick it with EB at his house. But if we got to his house and we went up to his bedroom, he sleeps on a heat rock, like an iguana.
Yeah.
I really believe, like, it's plugged into a wall.
With a sweatsuit on, man.
It's a human-sized heat rock. He gets it at, like, some PetSmart store plus size, and then he sleeps on it. He has to. I mean, the studio's always so hot when he leaves.
Poor guy's so cold.
Here's the question, though. 800-636-1067. We're looking for the percentage chance. That's how we're quantifying it. The chance you're giving Washington to come here and upset the Packers. We'll give you our numbers, and we'll kind of write the script as well next, so maybe you could do that. If Washington's going to knock off Green Bay, I mean, it's Friday. It's a football Friday. Mondays we normally have to be downtrodden after losses. We could be up. We could be happy. We could be optimistic on a Friday before the game. How does it happen? Let's write the script. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Eight It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. I'm live outside of Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Danny is in our Half Street studios, holding it down in the nation's capital. Danny, are you a stadium tour guy?
If I can get one and it's not too much of a hassle, I actually dig doing it. I did one at Citi Field in New York not long after it opened, and actually thought it was really cool.
This is one of the nerdier things about me, probably. I am a mark, complete stadium tour mark. I've done tours at stadiums where I wasn't even going to games. Like, I'm just in town and did it. But I did just book tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. a full tour of Lambeau Field,
nice,
which I'm fired up about. They give you, like, three options. So you can go 60 minutes, 90 minutes, or 2 hours. They call it, like, you know, rookie, veteran, champion, or I don't know, something like that. And one of them, you go into the locker room and, like, on the field and out the tunnel and everything. I think we're only doing the 90-minute one. But I'm a sucker for a stadium tour, dude. Especially something like this where there's a history to it. Like, I've done Fenway, didn't get to do Wrigley, but like, those are the ones to me that are worth it.
With the history, I mean, listen, it'd be cool to tour SoFi Stadium, wherever that thing is called in L.A., just because it's so ridiculous. You could see it from space.
Imagine?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be neat. But to me, the ones I care about are, and this is where, you know, like the guy in like 1905 used to hide his illicit substance that he would put on the baseball. Like, that's the kind of crap I want, you know?
They're all named like Righty and Long Sock, or, you know, it's always like completely random nicknames.
Yeah, Skin Knees Brown, you know?
Right, exactly. The question we're posing to you guys to get the show started today here on Grant and Danny, and I should let you know, Will Brinson joins us at 3 to go around the NFL, and at 6, we're scouting the opponent. We'll get all the intel you need on the Packers ahead of Sunday's game here in Green Bay. What chance do you give Washington to win? Trying to quantify that with a percentage chance. We'll give you ours and give you our script in a moment, but let's hit the phones. Gavin is in Alexandria. What's up, Gavin? How are you?
Just wanted to say I listen to you guys every day, and I'm not even a Redskin or a Washington football team fan. I'm actually a Packer fan. That's the reason I called. I think your analysis. Well, first off, let me answer your question. I give the Redskins, or I give the team about a 30% chance of winning on Sunday. I am a Packer fan, but I do think if they have a chance, you got to stop the run. The combination of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon is, it's tough on opponents, and like you guys have mentioned, they haven't really blown teams out of the water. Their red zone efficiency is actually not that good right now. It's one of the worst in the NFL, especially comparative to their how good they were there last year. So
red zone defense is abysmal. They've had 15 teams get into the red zone against them. They've scored 15 touchdowns. First time in over 40 years a team has not gotten a stop on their first 15 red zone tries.
And not only that, Grant, their red zone offense efficiency is terrible right now. They're actually not scoring as much as they should for how often they're getting into the red zone. And I think that if the team has a chance, they really got to lock down when the Packers get on the other half of the 50. Other than Adams right now and Jones, they don't really have a go-to guy. So I don't know what your secondary looks like right now, but
not good.
You got to cover.
Appreciate the call, bro. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we appreciate it. The secondary, to Danny's point, not ideal. Now, I will say that Green Bay secondary is completely blown up by injuries. Have you seen this, Danny? I mean, obviously, Jaire Alexander's out. Kevin King on the other side is also out. They might be without their safety, Savage, in this game as well. So they could be down three of their key four members of their secondary, which is good news for Terry McLaurin, who joins us every Monday at 4 o'clock on G&D, and for Taylor Heinicke as well. That bodes well and up in the percentage, I would think.
I go back to the Kansas City game this past week where I go, here's what it looks like on paper, and then I can't get that second half out of my mind. But yes, in theory, you know, having vulnerable guys should be where you can, you know, sort of make your mark, especially if you're a deep threat here for Washington. You know, because they'll bracket Terry McLaurin, they'll pay close attention to him, and they should. But can you get that, you know, that nice schemed up look, like the touchdown to Ricky Seals-Jones, which was a beautiful play call, beautiful sort of show you some eye candy, and then there's a counter to it, right? You hit him with a bunch of body punches of short passes, and maybe you scheme something deep as opposed to a De'Ami Brown or a someone else winning one-on-one down the field and Heinicke heaving at 60-plus yards. I don't know if they have that at this point, honestly, in the repertoire.
They're scoring 24 a game, which when you see the Bills 34 and some of these other teams like Dallas 34 a game, the caller's right. I mean, a lot of it is the red zone. They are about 58% efficient when they get in at hanging 7 points instead of three, which is 22nd in the league. Only, 10 teams have been worse at it than them this year, which is interesting. It's the Jones-Dillon thing for me. I'm just trying to think top of my head. Has a team really tried to run the ball against Washington? Like, they've had such an easy time throwing it that their numbers against the run are probably fine. But has a team committed to the run and tried to and been stopped? I don't necessarily think that's the case.
Yeah, teams are kind of going, why bother? The Giants game, they ran it pretty effectively, but that was Daniel Jones on some of that read option stuff.
Yeah,
they've done really well against running backs, right? And part of that, well, let me rephrase. Running backs haven't gone nuts against them. Some of the yards per carry totals are fine.
But have teams tried? They've never needed to.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's again, you can throw it so effectively and so easily against them. I mean, even New Orleans, who had the governors on Jameis Winston in every other game before or after, where they're like, just please don't screw us, just check it down, hand it off to Kamara, and please get out of the way. In that game, they were like, let's sling it. It's Steve Spurrier with sunny weather, dude. Let's throw.
Aaron Jones is 11th in the NFL coming into the game, 83 attempts, and 9th in rushing yards at 385. By the way, just looking at the numbers here, insane to think about. You think of Aaron Jones as a dude who gets a lot of carries, right?
Yeah.
Just generally?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that Derrick Henry has twice as many carries this season as Jones, who's 11 in the NFL in attempts? Derrick Henry's carried the ball 162 times for the Titans. No one else has carried it more than 110 times this year. They just do it different.
Yes.
That's just.
You have the Incredible Hulk, hand him the rock. Like that's what it is.
He just breaks every rule that there is. All right, let's go to line three. Sean is in Columbia on Grant and Danny. Sean, your thoughts on this game and the chance you give Washington at an upset?
Yeah, I give a 75% chance. It all depends on our offense and how we operate. I was going to tell you guys that we have already dealt with three teams are in the top 10 rushing, with Buffalo being number three. We haven't given anything up as far as our defense in rushing. We will shut Aaron down. I already know it. I already know we're going to shut Jones down running the ball. So it's going to be on Aaron's arm. It's going to be on Rodgers' arm. And I think that if, we can do something defensively, get them to long third downs, I don't foresee them beating us. I really don't. It depends on our offense if Rivera is going to allow Heinicke to go out and play his game. So it's all. I give a 75% chance because I believe at this point he has to let go. He has to let Heinicke go out and do what he needs to do, man. He got to stop holding this guy back and telling him to be a game manager. Thanks, guys.
Wow.
Appreciate you, dude. That's as bullish a prognostic. I mean, the third and long – part of that thing. Yeah, we'll get them into third and long. That hasn't helped this group this year. That's terrifying. I'd almost rather a third and three than a third and eight. Because a third and two or third and three, the offensive coordinator might be tempted to run something, instead of third and eight, I know it's a pass and I know it's a first down. But that's the script certainly for most teams, for good defensive teams, is to you get guys in bad down and distance, then your pass rushers can go eat. That has not been the effective formula through 6 weeks here.
Yeah, he mentioned the Bills as kind of evidence for they didn't run the ball on us, so no one can, for lack of a better description of what he was saying. And that's just not how I remember that game. Josh Allen threw for 360 yards and four touchdowns. They didn't have to run it. They just kept throwing it. So, yes, they held Moss to 4.6 per carry, 13 for 60. Singletary, they did an even better job on, long of 7, 11 for 26. On the day, the Bills ran it 25 times for 94 yards, which is fine. I mean, I'll take that every single week, to be completely honest with you. But they threw for 360. So it came at a cost. I mean, that's the question to me is, are you able to marry stopping the run without giving up massive plays in the passing game? which was the case to Buffalo. 22, 41, 19, 17, 23, 25-yard chunks through the air in that game. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Chance you're giving Washington to win. Just had someone say they got a 75% chance. So they are apparently the favorites, according to our guy Sean, just calling into Grant and Danny. What percent are you giving them, Danny, to win this game?
About 10%. This has to be about bad Green Bay more than anything else. If Green Bay is bad, if they're due for a letdown, if there's a fumble that ends up getting returned, if DeAndre Carter breaks one for a touchdown, to me, you line up and play, you run the scenario 1,000 times, Washington doesn't win many of those scenarios. You need a disastrous Green Bay performance. Maybe Devonta Adams gets banged up and has to leave the game. Something, a couple of fluky things have to go right and Washington could eke one out. But it's not something I would count on.
Color me optimistic on a Friday. Maybe it's that I'm sitting here feeling good about myself, drinking a nice tea, looking at Lambeau Field on a Friday. Got air in my lungs and I'm happy. I gotta go higher. I got to go 25 or so percent. Maybe even like I'll cap it at 30%. You know, I think if you played this team 10 times, you're probably not winning more than a couple. So I'll keep it in the 20s. But I could be wrong. I don't expect Green Bay to come out and use all of their best. I think that the plan this week is, hey, let's push this team around. Let's bully this club. And I think that's how you keep teams in games sometimes. So Aaron Jones loses a fumble or A.J. Dillon's elbow's not down at the goal line or something crazy and a ball comes out. And now instead of going ahead 27-13 late, you know, it's still 20-13, and Washington's got the ball in the third quarter. I think they end up winning by 10 or 11. Don't get me wrong. I'm not picking the football team. I think it's going to be around 31-20, you know, 27-17, something like that. But I don't think that this is going to be a clinic for the Packers where they've got something in the 40s and Washington's in the teens. What about you guys? 800-636-1067 is the number you want to hop in on Grant and Danny. We'll take our first look at the rest of the matchups in the NFL, try to find five of our favorite games outside of Lambeau Field and Green Bay that we like this weekend. You are listening to a Football Friday on Grant and Danny. Danny, I'll tell you this because you'll appreciate it. Ryan, Darius, they're not going to care about this. The iced tea at the Hinterland Brewery is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Little lemon in there, uh-huh. Little unsweetened, delicious, cold iced tea. It's as good as it gets.
Do you squeeze the lemon and then put the lemon itself in, or do you keep the lemon whole and kind of jab at it with your straw
that
to
one.
Get the lemon disbursement?
Yep, that one.
You never squeeze it?
Nope, the lemon is whole, and I just kind of punch at it with the straw little by little.
You do a pin on Tillman punch, yeah.
Exactly. And the ball comes out, and then I try to recover it, and then I give it to a quarterback who can't score because I'm the Bears in this example, I think, right? I'm Peanut Tillman.
Yep.
A couple of games that are interesting. We'll rank them later in the show. But outside of Washington at Green Bay, which is a 1 o'clock kick, 12 local where I'm sitting right now outside of Lambeau here in Green Bay on a chilly October afternoon. The Bengals and the Ravens, suddenly a fun game. 4-2 Cincinnati, 5-1 Baltimore, in Maryland. This game taking place right outside of Camden Yards. What do they call their stadium now? They changed names of that stadium. Is it still M&T Bank?
Ryan is nodding his head yes, but
okay.
But he's very confident in that. But remember what usually happens. He starts off very confident.
That's true.
And then further examination, the confidence wanes.
I'm 1,000% confident in this one. 1,000%.
All right.
Wow. You're staking your reputation on this, Ryan.
Yes. I will quit if I'm wrong.
Whoa,
Danny, give me a Google on that.
Here we go.
I feel like it changes every year, so that's why I'm just assuming that it's not M&T Bank.
Raven Stadium is M&T Bank Stadium. Ryan gets
there. It is.
Gig. Ryan still works here, everybody.
Let's go, Ryan. Other games that I am intrigued by, and you can add anything you like. Chiefs Titans after last week. Did Kansas City get going? We may have seen the beginning of them finding their groove. The Titans are a sneaky 4-2. Because they just hand the ball to Derrick Henry 100 times. And the nighttime slate, not nearly as sexy as normal, but I do like the oddity of the Indianapolis-San Francisco matchup.
Yeah.
Both of those teams need this game badly, by the way.
So let me just add a little bit of color, as you touched on. The first game that you mentioned, your Ravens and Bengals game, I think I've got this right. The only matchup against with two teams where both have winning records. Everybody
feels
else,
right.
Everybody else, even Kansas City, who's 500, that's kind of your next closest. But everyone else is basically a winner and a loser. Colts are in kind of desperation mode. San Francisco's doing what, frankly, I kind of thought they would do, which is get hurt a lot. And when they're healthy, they're good. But every once in a while, they play really well. Seattle's kind of hanging on for dear life as well, sort of looking at their situation. They need to tread water until Russell Wilson comes back to kind of save their season. They're basically built around him and hope. But for that Colts team, they're 2-4, and I sound like a broken record. I just keep saying this. They're really well built at almost every position. They're bad at wide receiver, and then sort of Carson Wentz is not particularly good.
But he's playing okay, though.
Yeah, he's fine, but I don't trust him. But the Colts are in a place where the rest of the AFC isn't as good maybe as we thought it was, right? So they're not out of it yet, even at 2-4. But they need to start adding some of these, piling up some wins at this stage to kind of stay relevant, because Cincinnati's not terrible. You know, Cleveland maybe got enrolled last night with a bunch of injuries, but they, eked one out at home. The Colts need a couple of these W's. I thought you made a good point there.
Well, here's what you need to know about the AFC right now is the Steelers at 500 would make the playoffs if they started today as the last team in. Think about that.
Yeah.
After their back-to-back wins when they were a couple under 500. Let's go to Tim in Waldorf. Word off, as my buddy Brandon used to call it. What kind of chance you giving Washington at Lambeau on Sunday, Tim?
Hey, guys. Nice to be on the show. I agree with you guys, but I'm only giving them a 1% chance to win. I see Green Bay doing enough to win the game, not blowing them out, but I haven't seen anything from the Washington team to make them think that they can go up in Lambeau and be, a 5-1 team playing really well.
Appreciate you, buddy. They had an impressive win on the road against the Falcons. Obviously, this is not Atlanta. You're not indoors. This is a cold outdoor environment with a pretty raucous crowd, you'd expect. And there might have been more Washington fans than Falcons fans in Atlanta that day. Let's go to Lou in D.C. online, too. Lou, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Can you hear me once, twice?
Yeah, man.
I'll give them 0% chance because they haven't showed us anything that could say, oh, okay, they might have a chance. They do everything the opposite that we always talk about. So they don't play defense. They don't play Heinicke the way he's supposed to play. I mean, play him to his strength, and they always do the opposite. Ron talking about he want to blitz more. Like, you have 5 weeks to do that. You haven't done anything. So I give him 0%, and I think Aaron Rodgers will put up some numbers on them, man. That's what I think, man. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Appreciate you, dude. So, GP, I could absolutely see that script, them following the designs that everyone else has laid out before them. What's the blueprint? We're not even going to mess around and put mileage on Aaron Jones. He'll catch some passes. He'll run the football, don't get me wrong. But could you see a scenario where they sling it because everybody does against them?
Yeah. I mean, I would try to throw it on them until they stop you. So they can't necessarily do that. Make a note of this, though, that we need to come back to this later in the show. We've now had at least two, if not three, callers talk about how they're misusing Heinicke. Maybe this is now the new way to describe why he's struggling. But we need to talk about that, whatever that is.
Mm.
Because what are they doing with Heinicke that is prohibiting him from succeeding? I want to drill down more on that with our listeners. Next, Will Brinson, CBS Sports, spins us around the NFL ahead of Week 7.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.